Two, three. Now we're being recorded. Okay. Good evening, everybody. I want to welcome you to this week's Chalon Kavur. As I said before, this is going to be the last one of the season for us. We may have a couple of profiles and exiles scheduled for the summer mode. There's a lot of exciting stuff that we're working on to increase Torah knowledge in different age ranges over the course of the summer. As school winds down, we're hoping to try to pull some nice things together. And to just keep ourselves involved in the study of Torah. You know, like I said, you know, one of the things that we came to realize over the course of the pandemic was the fact that they could take a lot of things away from us. But one of the things that they, Baruch Hashem, we have not been able to do is have our Torah taken from us. And I have to credit all those people, including all of you, who have made it your business to keep learning and to keep learning. So that's a wonderful, terrific, beautiful thing. Okay, hi, Dina. Okay, so I have two questions for tonight. I find them both interesting. One is like an old-fashioned, when I was in high school, so we used to have something called a Rosh Chodesh Shmuz. What was a Rosh Chodesh Shmuz? So the Rosh Chodesh Shmuz was you got to ask the Rebbe anything, literally anything, and he would have to answer. So like the very, very learned guys would spend weeks preparing for Rosh Chodesh Shmuz to ask these like really backwards questions. And the fun guys, they used to like try to put together some of the rockiest, most exciting questions under the sun to see how the Rebbe was going to see if they could raise the Rebbe's eyebrows in the process, like, right? So here's one of the real classics. And I remember hearing it then, and I don't remember what the particular Rebbe answered. And then it came up in passing this past week in a different context. Ruth Friedman, a post-seminary Beis Yaakov girl, that's not her name, Ruth Friedman, that's you for it, right, was on a date with a young man in the country, or as Moshe likes to say, in the country, right, upstate. They were riding a ski lift up the mountain when the proprietor of the ski lodge, unaware that anyone was riding the lift, turned it off for the day, leaving the couple stranded on the lift. Ms. Friedman began to panic out of fear of violating the prohibition of Yichud, which disallows a couple to be alone. After unsuccessfully yelling for help, Ms. Friedman then jumped off the lift some 15 feet to the ground, and in the process suffered several broken bones and whiplash. Now, it's interesting that she decided to sue the state of New York for negligence in operating the ski lift. At her trial, her rabbi argued that the Issur of Yichud was so serious that a young woman would likely jump into harm's way in order to avoid it. So while Ms. Friedman's intentions and dedication are certainly laudable, it remains to be determined whether her actions were appropriate. Was she obligated or permitted to risk her life to avoid the prohibition of Yichud? Or was it a mistake, something she should not have done? And that, my dear friends, is question number one, right? Question number two. It seems that things must be opening up. People have been looking forward to summer vacations and the opportunity to travel. Travel to and from Israel often comes with the request to take something or take a bag for someone to Israel. Indeed, on a number of occasions, I've seen requests on e-kesher for someone traveling to Israel to take a bag to Israel. Now, is it a chesed to take that bag or is it usher? Those are tonight's two questions. Can you take something for someone to Israel, or is it forbidden? And its alternative, should Ms. Friedman have jumped off the date in the mountains? Both summertime questions that you probably didn't expect to be on the top of everyone's list, but let's see, are there any particular choices in advance? Preference. Ski lift. So you want to do the ski lift question. Okay. Aliza, any objection?
No objection.
Okay, so let's start again. So we have this girl on a date, post-seminary. She's on a date with a boy, and she gets stuck there on the top of a mountain. There is nobody around. Nobody is left on the mountain. They're screaming at the top of the lift. And she decides, well, one of us is going to have to jump. And so she decides to be the firmer of the two, and she breaks a bunch of bones in the process. And she sues the government, right? The state government for negligence. The bigger question is that at the trial, an expert is called and he says, Taka, this is a threat to her life. She was so scared because al pi halacha, that's what she had to do. Is this correct or is it not correct? Go ahead, Doc. You wanted to say something.
I have a question. The question I have is it the summertime or the wintertime? Is it cold? Is it hot? What's the environment there?
What difference does it make?
Does it make a difference?
Why do you think it makes a difference? Just out of curiosity.
Because they're on the ski lift, all right? They should probably be having skis there unless it's the summertime and they went up there for a picnic. I don't know.
Okay. Does it change the rules of Yichud?
It might change the rules of it because if it was really cold out there, it's an additional sakana.
Okay, so let's add that in. That's what I thought you were going to say. So Avi says that we have to. Avi Wenger says, wait a minute, we have to add in if the weather was cold, maybe there's an additional level of sakana.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
In the winter, it could be like 20 degrees.
But let's assume it's the summer and it's evening time, so you don't have to worry that they're both going to become tomatoes by being stuck in the sun too long. Now what do you do?
Okay.
Oh, come on, don't get
quiet. Any other question?
Go ahead.
How did the two of them decide who should jump?
I assume that Ruth Friedman made the decision on her own. Because she said, I just got back from seminary and I know what Yichud is. So she decided to, you know, he thought it was wiser to wait it out. And she said, or maybe she decided she wasn't going out with him again. So she didn't want to get stuck being married to him. Right? I don't know, whichever one it was. Maybe she said, not another minute with this guy. He's driving me crazy. Right? That's a good question. What does it do for us? Any ideas, thoughts that you're formulating?
The question is, I know that we have the three big sins that we should die for.
Yeah.
Yichud isn't one of them.
Oh, so Devorah comes through and she says, well, you know, she could have, you know, she fell 15 feet. And Devorah says, I know from learning Gemara that if you do twice the size of a human being, you know, that could lead to a pretty serious, potentially fatal fall, right? We know that because in Skila, we know that, you know, we push the person down from double the height, right? So Dvorah says, like, I know that, you know, if she made a decision, you know, she was taking her life in her own hands. Forget about the cold from before. She says she's taking her life in her hands. But Devorah made an assumption. What's the assumption? That the prohibition of Yichud is not included in, is not part of this this issue. It's not. It doesn't get as far as the Yeharig Val Yavors. So let's put all of this into context. There's a Gemara. The Gemara in Kedushin begins on Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says that the Isser of Yichud means that if you have a couple who are what we call Isurei Arayos. They're not allowed to be, they're not allowed to be alone together in an inaccessible area because we're concerned that if enough time passes, they might engage in activity that is inappropriate. So a man can't be alone and isolated with another person's wife since she's an erva, right? Gili Arayos. And that's easy. Most Mefarshim assume that Yichud with an erva is an Isser del Raisa. So Yichud was somebody who is biblically forbidden. So now, who is Ruth Friedman? She is married?
No.
I hope not, right? She's a post-seminary based Yaakov girl. So is she an Isser erva? Well, if she is, she shouldn't be on that lift on a date because obviously her parents did some lousy work in checking out the boy, right? What's the point of going on date with a boy you can't marry? Right? So most Mefarshim assume that Yichud with an Erva is going to be an Isser del Raisa. Now, Yichud with an unmarried woman, therefore, assuming she's not your sister-in-law, you know, some other person you can't marry. So the Gemara assumes that that's only an Isser Derabanan. However, there is one Isser Arayos that could be relevant here. And which Isser Arayos is that? The Isser of a woman who is a Nida. Hopefully, you know, the girls who are not married don't regularly go to the Mikvah. And even those who go, we in the Dirshush series that I learn now, in my private learning, we're learning the halachos of Yom Kippur. And earlier this week, we got into a long-standing discussion concerning a custom that many have prior to Yom Kippur of going to the mikveh. So that type of going to the mikveh, though, would not carry, even if you had such a custom, and there is a long-standing discussion among the commentaries as to whether a young single woman should go to the mikveh before Yom Kippur. Generally speaking, we usually leave that over just to the men, not to the women, because it creates all sorts of questions and discussions and confusions. But here, if a young single woman did go to the mikveh without the proper preparations to go to the mikveh, shivanikim and have seiktara and all these other things, it wouldn't count. It would be as if she didn't go to the mikveh. And so in this situation, yichud with a woman who is a nida would be included, according to those mefarshim, as part of the isur d'oraisa of yichud. And by the way, having those relations would be an Isser Erva. And so that is a fundamental issue. Now, it should just be pointed out that that is a machlokus in of itself. There's a famous Achron Sefer that Rosh Hashanah likes to quote called the Asmun Del Raisa. So he says that the status of an Isha as an Ida is a disagreement between the Rambam and Tosis. So it's not 1,000% agreed to that a woman who is a Nida is considered an Isser Erva, but whatever it is, we still see that there is enough of a position here that an unmarried Nida is an Isser D'oraisa. We just have to know how far does one have to go in order to be able to not have Yichud with such in such a situation. How far does Ruth have to go? Hopefully not 15 feet, because that's exactly what she did. Go ahead, Doc.
All right, so trying to put the picture together. Okay, so they're in the summer. They're going for a picnic on a place that in the winter when the snow is a ski resort. So they're going up on the ski lift to have a picnic. So they're on a date. So they're up on top of the mountain. They could be there in Yichud anyway. So what difference does that make with being on the ski lift?
So that's an excellent question. And that, when I first came across this question this week, when I came across one of the groups I belong in, right, I couldn't understand, like, they went up there in the first place. Like, what was the problem? But what the message I got was apparently in a lot of these ski resorts in the summer, they're not just totally shut down. These mountains grow some very nice, areas. And people go up because, you know, it's a nice place. So it's like a big park. So you don't go just for seclusion. There's probably a number of people are there. They just got on to the, you know, they were told the last trip, and they didn't listen fast enough. And they were, let's say for the sake of our conversation, they were 9 minutes behind everyone else. So they're coming down the chairlift 9 minutes behind. And there are a bunch of empty chairs. And the guy on the ski lift, the guy with the access to the key and the controls, he assumed that there's nobody left because, you know, there are all this number, 9 minutes worth of empty chairs going around, right? So he shut the ski lift, but this couple wasn't all the way down yet. Maybe there we can have a situation where being on the mountain, they did not have an Isser Yichud. They were just walking around and they saw other people and they were never alone for 9 minutes. They didn't get into any trouble. But you're right. That would be a very big problem already. I hope they like each other. But the chair lift can still be a question in and of itself. So here the Gemara says in Sanhedrin on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis and the Gemara Msachim on Daf Chafei Amud Beis that, that Devar said before, that when it comes to an Isser in the Torah, right, unless it's one of the three cardinal sins, Yavor V'al Yeharig, when we have the three cardinal sins, idolatry, adultery, and idolatry, adultery, and
murder.
I'm sorry?
Murder.
And murder. Yeah, but there's a nice tree to it, right? So if it's any of those three, so then we say Yeharik V'al Yavor. So the Gemara says, in Sachim, the Gemara says on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, if you need to go ahead for medicinal purposes and you need to take non-kosher food, take whatever non-kosher food you want except for Atzei Asherah. You remember the wood of an Asherah tree that was worshipped as an idol, right? What does that say? When you get direct benefit from an Avodah Zarah, that's where you have a problem. So Rabbeinu Nissim there in Psachim points out that benefiting from an Avodah Zarah is not considered idol worship, right? Yet we still see that it's usher it's usher to benefit from the Asherah tree in a life-threatening situation. So therefore, it's not just the big three themselves, but there are corollaries to each of the three, or what you and I are going to call abizrayu. Abizrayu means it's in the territory of. It's a corollary, right? So in other words, you're not allowed to benefit from the Avodah Zarah. That's an Isur. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to serve the Avodah Zarah. That's the Isur. Benefiting from the service, that would be abizrayu. That would be a corollary. And here, Rabbeinu Nissim says that even for an abizrayu of Avodah Zarah, one has to go ahead and give up his life. And the Ramah in Yoredei Siman Kuf Nun Zion says that the halacha follows Rabbeinu Nissim. And so even if it's a corollary, right, one needs to give up his life under the threat of death. So then the question is, well, wait a second. What is the status of Yichud? Is Yichud considered a abizrayu, right? It's certainly not adultery, but is it abizrayu, right? And so that is actually a machlokas. The Gemara brings a source, but the Sefer HaChinuch says Yichud falls under the general term of lo sekruvu legalos erva, don't come close. And most of the modern opinions, including Reb Lazer Waldenberg, the author of the Tzitz Eliezer, say that according to the Sefer HaChinuch, Yichud would be considered a kreva la'arayos. It's getting close. And so therefore, it should be in Abizrayu de Gili Arayos. The Rambam in Isure Bia Perek Chafbeis Halacha Aleph says, no, Yichud is a step removed. Right? And Rav David Parvarsky, the famous Rebbe of Rav Teitz, one of the Rebbeim of Rav Teitz in Panovich, so he explains that the Rambam adds an extra layer suggesting that it's not a prohibition. It's not a kreva la'arayos, and so therefore Yichud is not going to be considered abizrayu, and it's therefore not even included in this Yeharig Va'al Ya'avor. So it would follow that a person should not jump to his death. Right? He or she should not go ahead and take their lives. And so by the way, how do we paskin? So Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he actually does hold la halacha that the yichud, the violation of yichud would be an abizrayu de gilei arayos. And so therefore, she should have jumped. But I'm not done yet. Right? Because even if we assume that yichud is abizrayu de gilei arayos, there is an additional situation that we need to think about. You see, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Adaf Ayin Dalad Amud Beis, where the Gemara says that there are exceptions to this rule of Yeharik Val Yavor. What are they? Well, one is called Shas Hashmad. What's Shas Hashmad? If we're in a situation where there is a general time of apostasy, governments are trying to force Jews to give up their religion, right? So in such a situation, even putting your shoes on in the wrong way, the Gemara says, is going to be a Yeharik Val Yavor. And that's but a custom. The other time is something called Farhesia. What's a Farhesia? If you're being forced to do it in public. And so there, we also have to take it very seriously. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. We have a Jewish heroine in Jewish history who definitely, went ahead and did something that certainly seemed to be Creva la Arayos, right? Who was the Jewish heroine under discussion? Right, Sadina is mouthing Esther Amalka. You're on mute, just letting you know. Sadina is correct. The Gemara says Esther was married to Ahasuerus, and he was a non-Jew. And we assume that if the couple is married, that they were engaging in marital relations. Isn't that a situation where Esther should have given up her life? There's a very, very long Tosus over there, which is not for now. Tosus spends a lot of time on that issue. But the Gemara gives a very, very straightforward answer. And what's that? Esther karka olam haisa, which the commentaries mean that she didn't do anything active, right? She was, until she went to Ahasuerush, and she said at the request of Mordechai, and when she declared, V'chasher avadati avadati, I'll be the way that I've been lost, I'll be lost, she was just passive. And the Raman Yoridea and Simon Kufnin Zion says that practically speaking, one does not need to give up one's life in order to passively violate any Yeharik Valyavor. If you're passive, then there's no question whatsoever. And so therefore, when this couple got on the ski lift to go back down, and here's where Dr. Wenger's point from before does come into play, right? Since it's a passive situation, right? It wasn't their fault that led them into the Yichud situation. It was the guy who was operating the ski lift's point. And so if that's the case, what should the halacha be? Should she have jumped?
No,
because she was passively involved in Yichud. So my Rebbe, Rav Hershel Schechter Shalita, claims that even if Yichud is an Abizrayo de Gilei Arayos, even if it is this corollary and there a person has to be careful like Rabbeinu Nisim, still notwithstanding, the woman should not, Ms. Friedman should not have jumped to her death to avoid it because this was carried out passively and there is no violation. Rav Chaim Kanievsky would disagree. He says that the Yichud doesn't take on the status of passive, and so therefore it is considered a Yeharik Valyavor situation. Why? Because even though at the moment the couple is passively violating the prohibition of Yichud, how did they wind up on the ski lift?
Well, they stepped up onto it.
And is that an active or a passive motion? So here is the bone of contention between Reb Chaim Kanievsky and
The ski lift was moving, and they had no idea that it was going to stop in the middle there.
So Reb Chaim Kanievsky, so Reb Schechter agrees with you. Dr. Wenger, Reb Schechter agrees with you. Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, I don't understand. He says, at the moment, they may be passive, but the since they got onto the chairlift, they were active. That makes the entire situation an active situation, even though the Yichud didn't come in until later. And his proof? The comments of the Shagas Aryeh. The Shagas Aryeh has a rule that says only you cannot get makos unless you did an isur, right? You cannot get makos unless you did something. Right? That's the general rule. If something is done, and you just were passive, do you get makos? No. There's only two exceptions to that rule. What are the two exceptions? Bris Mila and Karban Pesach, right? But other than that, you need to actively violate a prohibition. So that
it's not an isser to get onto a ski lift.
Right. So watch
that
this.
That is not an isser.
Right. Rega, so the Shagas Aryeh says yes, but the Gemara does say that a Nazir is not allowed to become Tamei, right? We know the Torah's rule. He's not allowed to become Tamei, and even if he went into a cemetery in a mutter way, you know, the Lubavitcher Rebbe's Yortzeit is, I believe, Gimel Tammuz, if I'm not mistaken, right? So I remember someone in the community who is Lubavitch told me, Anna Cohen, he says, oh yeah, I've been to the Lubavitcher Rebbe's Kever. So how do you go to the Kever? You're a Cohen. He says, the Rebbe's not dead. I said, it's fine, but all the people, I mean, I'm not going there with him. It's not fine. I said, what about all the other dead people around him? So he said, well, I went in the box, right? There is a coin box, apparently. I haven't had the pleasure of going, right? But there's a coin box in the cemetery over there. And the Gemara, and if he comes in a box, a sealed box, it would be permitted for the Kohen to go ahead and pass through the cemetery. So what, and the Nazir as well. So what happens if I have a Nazir, right, who goes in a box and then the box breaks, right? So here the Shagas Ari quotes the Gemara who says that the Nazir would get makos for being inside the cemetery, for staying inside the cemetery. But how can a Nazir be chayav to get makos while he was passively staying in the cemetery? So the Shagas Ari answers, it's very simple. Going into the cemetery in a box, even though it's mutter, it means that your being in the cemetery is the result of activity, not passivity. Got me? So there is a precedent in halacha, right? This is a Gemara dvar. I can't argue with the Gemara. It's a precedent, right? And the Shagas Ari uses this to state the precedent that being passive, right, in having the Isser come upon you, but it started out from your initial activity, you would be considered liable. Similarly, so when Miss Friedman and her date for the day went into the situation of Yichud by getting onto the chairlift, even though that the going onto the chairlift is, it was not a problem, that it still renders the whole chairlift ride active. And when the Yichud problem started, you couldn't argue that she was being Karka Olam. So therefore, Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, apparently, that she should have to jump because she otherwise would be considered actively violating Abizrayu de Gili Arayos. So Aliza says, why should she jump? Maybe he should jump. Aliza, good question. I don't have a good answer, but she's the one who did jump, right? So the question is, what about jumping to take an injury that won't lead to death, right? So according to Chaim Kanievsky, that's for sure, for sure an obligation. If you're going to jump for, to get to your death, right? So you certainly can jump just to break the bones. Right, you have an obligation to jump to break the bones, right? But what about according to everybody else? So according to Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, he says, what are you talking about? Yichud is not considered an abizrayu de gilui arayos. And so he says, you certainly don't have to jump, right? Rav Shechter says, he doesn't think this is a problem either. But here, if it's just an iser, should she run the risk of breaking her arm or her leg? And not run the risk of a threat to life? What if it wasn't 15 feet? What if it's 5 feet, right? 5 feet at an awkward angle. Now what do you say? It's 5 feet, but she's wearing heels. I think that would cover the gap, right? Yes, no, ladies? Okay. So the aunt, because Space Yaakov, she's not going to take off her shoes, right? She's not going to take off her shoes to fascination, right? So the Gemara says, so what do we do in this situation? So here, we turn to a totally different area of halacha to come up with a solution. And what's that area? Hilchos Shabbos. Because the Shulchan Aruch states in Hilchos Shabbos, while we have to go ahead in a pikuach nefesh situation, we push off Shabbos. But when we deal with a sakanas eber, a danger to a limb, we only go against, we will only break a Isser Derabbanan. Now, bodily injury seems to only go against rabbinic issues, not biblical issues. But the Shach in Yeridea says, what are you talking about? If you have to do an Avera under the threat of death, it says you can do the Avera, right? So there the Shach asks the question, what if it's not death? What if it's what we call sakanas eber, a threat to a limb? Are you allowed to go ahead and violate something that's not a yeharig val yavor when it's only a question of bodily harm? So you'd assume, based on what we just saw in Hilchos Shabbos, that the answer is we have to be strict, right? Only dinim derabbanan. But the Shach says that's not so. He says even an iser deoraisa can be violated at the if there's a threat of bodily harm. Why? So the Egli Tal explains that in general we follow the Shach, and Shabbos is the exception to the rule. That because of the stringency of Shabbos, you can only, because we're so particular about Shabbos, we don't want people to violate it. We were strict about Shabbos, but anything that's not Shabbos, the Egli Tal says, right? We would generally just be a lot more lenient, and we'd allow the violation of Isurim Del Reisa. The problem with that, what would emerge from the Egli Tal's interpretation is. The woman Ruth should not have jumped off for the Isser of Yichud, even if it's just a threat to harm. But one could have also made a differentiation between Refuah and Ones, right? And what's the difference between them? Here, Moshe Sternbach explains that the general rule is that a violation of an Isser d'Oraisa and generally can't be violated for sakanas aver, and the only exception is an ones, where you're being coerced by a third party. Here the woman is not being coerced by a third party, and so therefore it wouldn't create enough of a situation to be enough to justify the prohibition of Yichud. Rav Shlomo Zalman doesn't buy any of this, because Rav Shlomo Zalman just simply says, this whole issue is a din derabbanan to begin with. We pass in like the Rambam. And so therefore he says, even at the risk of just bodily harm, she shouldn't jump. Okay. Rav Shechter also would be of the opinion that you're not allowed to jump in a situation. And Rav Shlomo Zalman goes one step further to say, if the woman does jump, she's held liable for attempted suicide, right? Or attempted murder on herself, as the case may be. So to sum it up and to close it out, we began with this incredible question. It's an old high school favorite of mine, and now all of a sudden my high school friends are rabbis. So we asked the question about a couple on a date, and the girl decides to jump down from the ski lift because she doesn't want to violate the Isser of Yichud. And we decided that issue is really dependent on whether the Isser of Yichud is an Isser d'Rabbanan or an Isser d'Oraisa. Sefer HaChinuch says that it's an Isser d'Oraisa. The Rambam seems to suggest that it's not an Isser d'Oraisa, right? Maybe it's only a din d'Rabbanan, and Rav Shlomo Zalman used that principle to state that even at the threat of bodily harm, and certainly at the threat to life, she should not have jumped down. But if you hold like the Sefer HaChinuch and most of the Mefarshim, including Rav Lezer Waldenberg, the Tzitz Eliezer, it sounds like the Isur is a Isur d'Oraisa, and therefore Yichud would be a question of Abizrayu d'Gili Arayos like Rabbeinu Nisim. And so we turn around and we say to ourselves, there's a potential major problem in our hands. And so Rav Chaim Kanievsky Paskin, we said that since that is the case, we can't make an argument of Esther Karka Olam, that this is a question of passivity, right? Because once you start doing something, you, in an active way, the situation is considered an active situation. And so therefore, Chaim says she has to jump down, or he has to jump down, Eliza. Someone has to get out of the Yichud situation, even if it means a potential, God forbid, death. Rav Shechter said that he thought that was not correct. He was of the opinion that that it would be wrong for the person to jump down because it is a passive situation, and so therefore the girl should not jump down under those circumstances. Okay, I think this is a wonderful end. Hopefully, we'll spend our summers doing a lot of exciting, fun things, but going on ski lifts in Yichud situations will not be among them. And Be'ezras Hashem. Over the course of the summer and other times, we'll continue to share a lot of Torah together. So everyone have a wonderful night, a terrific summer, and Be'ezras Hashem, good things coming. Okay?
Thank you.
Kol tov umvorach, kol tov.